Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The debate in Washington over net neutrality is heating up. If Republicans argue that Democrats are embracing poor policy, Democrats argue that Republicans are out of touch with how passionate voters are on the topic. The Trump administration's FCC chairman has submitted the Restoring Internet Freedom Order. It's set to take effect on June 11th. It's essentially a dismantling of Obama-era regulations that reclassified internet service providers as common carriers instead of the less heavily regulated information services. Though Senate Democrats were able to make progress on blocking the order this week, efforts are likely to stall in the U.S. House. What does that mean for Americans thirsty for an internet that remains free of blocked content, throttled speeds, and paid prioritization? U.S. Senator John Thune joined us on the phone this morning from Washington. What are we talking about that everyone actually agrees on about a free and open internet?
Well, I think that the issue that seems, at least there's general, what I would call broad bipartisan support. There are people on the far left probably wouldn't support a solution, the people on the far right. But I think the broad middle believes that there ought to be some rules in effect to preserve and protect an open internet. And so I have a draft of legislation, and the issue is under the committee that I chair. It's under our jurisdiction. Which basically would ban blocking of lawful content, ban throttling of internet speeds, ban what's known as paid prioritization. And those are the kinds of things that most people are concerned about. They're not things that that we've seen so far that internet service providers have been guilty of. But that being said, there is concern about ensuring that going into the future those sorts of protections are in place. And so there's general, I think, broad bipartisan agreement around those basic principles of an open internet. But the best way to ensure that those are enforced is to get them enshrined and codified into law. And right now what we have is every administration changes and the FCC changes, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, will change the rules and basically at their whim. And it just kind of makes this thing subject to a back and forth depending on what the political winds of the day are. And it doesn't do anything to provide in a permanent way the types of rules and principles for an open internet that I think that people want to see in place.
And that inconsistency, what is the impact of that on growth and investment and innovation?
Well, I would argue that the FCC under President Obama did something that hadn't been done before. For two decades, the internet was governed under what we call a light-touch regulatory approach, a light touch of regulation as opposed to heavy hand. And the FCC under President Obama decided to regulate the internet under what they call Title II of the 1934 Communications Act, which is the title of the law, 1934 law, that was used to govern public utilities like Ma Bell. And it strikes me that using an 80-year-old law to govern a 21st century innovation like the internet just doesn't work very well. And it would subject internet service providers under the FCC potentially to rate regulation. It gives the government tremendous authority and power over the internet. So what this FCC under President Trump has done is said, okay, we're going to roll back that rule, and we're going to go back to the way the internet was regulated before 2015. And so that's kind of what will happen as of June 11th. I think that's when the new rule or the rollback rule would go into effect. But I guess the point is you have one FCC having one view, the next FCC having a different view, and you'd end up in this kind of ping-pong match going back and forth, which creates uncertainty. And uncertainty makes it hard for those who want to invest in new innovation and technology and those sorts of things, higher speeds, reluctant to do that. So we need to provide certainty. We need to have clear rules. And we want to preserve a free and open internet. And I think that we want to have an internet that that is attractive for investment and new technologies and innovation that provides better and higher quality service to people and places all over the country and particularly in rural areas like South Dakota.
In 2015, when those regulations were enacted, was there not legislation being drafted that would deal with, blocking content and throttling of speeds, et cetera?
There was, and I was involved with that. In fact, I have a draft that we put together in 2015 that would have banned all those things and provided those protections. And we were very close. We were negotiating with the Democrats when the FCC decided to move with their new regulations. And after the new regulations were put in place, the Democrats got lost interest in legislation. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to restart that legislative process. But the problem is, you know, this exercise that we went through in the Senate yesterday, which was a what they call a Congressional Review Act resolution of disapproval, basically would ban the FCC from rolling back these regulations, going back to the pre-2015 rules, isn't going anywhere. But in the meantime, it keeps the Democrats, who otherwise might be willing to sit down and negotiate with us on a bipartisan solution that puts permanent rules in place, away from the table. So it's frustrating. I've been trying now for several years. I've been looking for a dance partner, basically, on the Democrat side who would work with us on that kind of a solution, and I remain open to that, and I'm hoping that we'll see some Democrats come to the table, because we're ready to go, and I think we could get a good bipartisan solution in place that would address this issue in a meaningful way.
Do they do the same thing, the regulations and the legislation? How are they different in the impact that they would have?
Well, the regulations that the FCC is going, basically the FCC is going back to pre-2015 treatment. So they would treat the Internet under what's known as Title I, and that's basically as an information service. The Democrats, at the FCC under Obama, in a very partisan ruling, decided to regulate it under Title II, which, as I said, is sort of the heavy-handed approach that gives the FCC dramatically increased powers in terms of regulating the Internet. So the FCC has rolled back the sort of heavy-handed approach, gone back to a light-touch approach, but under neither of those did they have these kinds of permanent legal protections in place that we can do, because that's the role of Congress. I mean, the only way that you can get permanent rules put in place in the long term is to do it through law. And the other thing that we've seen in recent years is just a ton of litigation. There's millions and millions of dollars get spent in courtrooms litigating this issue, and I'd rather have those millions and millions of dollars spent investing in new technologies. And I think that's what one of the other things that we lose out on with the approach that that we have today. So again, I'm hopeful that in the wake of all this, that we'll have a renewed interest in trying to sit down and actually negotiate a solution that represents a consensus of where I think most, a lot of members of Congress are, and I think, frankly, where the American people are as well.
Is there a philosophical debate that we're talking about here as far as how to, define the Internet versus, an information service or a common carrier?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it kind of comes down to, heavy regulation, lighter regulation. I think that, in my view, I mean, I'm disappointed, obviously, for the Internet in what happened yesterday in the Senate, because this Congressional Review Act resolution, which isn't going anywhere, narrowly passed in the Senate, but it doesn't provide a solution. But what it does do is it would take us back, if it were ever to become enacted, which it won't, it would take us back to what the FCC did in 2015, which is regulating the Internet under Title II as a sort of a public utility. That law was created in 1934 to regulate Ma Bell and the telecommunications or the communications industry as it was evolving at the time. But we live in a very different era. I mean, this is 80 years later. This is the Internet. This is the most explosive technology that we've seen, and certainly in my lifetime. And I think that you want to see that continued investment, innovation that has kept us on the creative cutting edge when it comes to new technologies. And the way you keep that investment in place is you use the light touch of regulation and don't come down with a heavy hand of government. The heavy hand of government is what squelches and stifles the incentive to invest in those new technologies.
What happens on June 11th if the Restoring Internet Freedom Order takes place and there is no legislation set to protect consumers from some of the things that they're worried about?
Well, nothing. What will happen on June 11th is we'll go back to the way it was before 2015. Everybody's internet worked very well then. I think the internet works well now. I think the internet will work well on June the 12th. Simply because this is not, I mean, despite all the fear-mongering that's out there, I don't know of an example yet where we've seen any of these things that they're predicting actually happen. But in the event they could happen, let's say they're hypothetical at this point, I have said I'm more than willing to put protections in place that would prevent, that would ban, you know, blocking, throttling, and paid prioritization, even though those things haven't happened yet. But the answer to the question, very simply, is on June 12th, your internet's going to work just like it did on June 11th. that's kind of the irony of all of this. But you know, that being said, it doesn't prevent folks from who want to gain some political advantage on this issue from trying to create conditions that inspire and provoke fear in people about what might happen to their internet.
You had some tough words for Democrats on the floor the other day, and you know, the Republicans are accusing Democrats of bad policy. Democrats are accusing Republicans of not being in touch with what the voters really want and how important this issue is. Do you think this is all a setup for the midterm elections in your view?
It is. I mean, I think they see it as an issue that motivates particularly millennials. And I think there's a lot of misinformation about this issue and misleading you know, arguments, and I made that point on the floor by illustrating with the Washington Post newspaper fact checker. One of the statements that had been made by the Democrats was that if the FCC were to go back to the light touch approach that was in place prior to 2015, that people would be getting their internet one word at a time. And so the Washington Post examined, you know, what would happen to internet speeds if they went back to, if the FCC used the rules that they had applied prior to 2015, and basically concluded that the Democrat argument received three Pinocchios. In other words, it was just a false statement. And so that's what's frustrating about this, is there are an awful lot of people, I think, who perhaps have bought into this idea that net neutrality is something that can only be achieved through heavy government regulation. And the fact of the matter is, a free and open internet is something we all want to see. And I think if people are concerned about abuses of the internet by internet service providers, the best way to ensure against that is to put protections in law and codify rules that would apply going into the future, instead of leaving it in the hands of unelected bureaucrats. So it seems to me, at least, that there's a very big philosophical difference on policy on this, but there's also a huge political opportunity, or at least what they perceive the Democrats do as a political opportunity going into the midterm elections, to try and motivate a lot of people to believe that somehow what the FCC is doing is going to adversely affect their internet service, when that couldn't be further from the truth. And when June 12th rolls around, people will figure that out. So I don't think it's going to have the political value they think it is, but it's clear that that's kind of what the strategy is behind this as we head into the midterm elections.
U.S. Senator John Thune, thank you so much for giving us your time this morning.
Always good to be with you. Thanks, Lori.
I spoke with Senator Thune this morning from Washington on the phone.